Chapter 3. Luck. Every term at the university began the same way. The admissions lottery followed by a full span of interviews. They were a necessary evil of sorts. I don't doubt the process started sensibly. Back when the university was smaller, I could picture them as actual interviews. An opportunity for a student to have a conversation with the masters about what he had learned. A dialogue. A discussion. But these days, the university was host to over 1,000 students. There was no time for discussion. Instead, each student was subjected to a hail of questions in a handful of minutes. Brief as the interviews were, a single wrong answer or overlong hesitation could have a dramatic impact on your tuition. Before interviews, students studied obsessively. Afterward, they drank in celebration or to console themselves. Because of this, for the 11 days of admissions, most students looked anxious and exhausted at best. At worst, they wandered the university like shamblemen, hollow-eyed and grey-faced from too little sleep, too much drink, or both. Personally, I found it odd how seriously everyone else took the whole process. The vast majority of students were nobility or members of wealthy merchant families. For them, a high tuition was an inconvenience, leaving them less pocket money to spend on horses and whores. The stakes were higher for me. Once the masters set a tuition, it couldn't be changed. So if my tuition was set too high, I'd be barred from the university until I could pay. The first day of admissions always had a festival air about it. The admissions lottery took up the first half of the day, which meant the unlucky students who drew the earliest slots were forced to go through their interviews mere hours afterward. By the time I arrived, long lines snaked through the courtyard, while the students who had already drawn their tiles milled about, complaining and attempting to buy, sell, or trade their slots. I didn't see Willem or Simon anywhere, so I settled into the nearest line and tried not to think of how little I had in my purse, one talent and 3 jots. At one point in my life, it would have seemed like all the money in the world, but for tuition, it was nowhere near enough. There were carts scattered about, selling sausages and chestnuts, hot cider and beer. I smelled warm bread and grease from a nearby cart. It was stacked with pork pies for the sort of people who could afford such things. The lottery was always held in the largest courtyard of the university. Most everyone called it the Pennant Square, though a few folk with longer memories referred to it as the Questioning Hall. I knew it by an even older name. The House of the Wind. I watched a few leaves tumble around the cobblestones, and when I looked up, I saw Fela staring back at me from where she stood, 30 or 40 people closer to the front of the line. She gave me a warm smile and a wave. I waved back, and she left her place, strolling back to where I stood. Fela was beautiful, the sort of woman you would expect to see in a painting. Not the elaborate, artificial beauty you often see among the nobility. Fela was natural and unself-conscious, with wide eyes and a full mouth that was constantly smiling. Here in the university, where men outnumbered women 10 to 1, she stood out like a horse in a sheepfold.
"Do you mind if I wait with you?"
she asked as she came to stand beside me.
"I hate not having anyone to talk to."
She smiled winsomely at the pair of men queued up behind me.
"I'm not cutting in," she explained. "I'm just moving back."
They had no objections, though their eyes flickered back and forth between Fela and myself. I could almost hear them wondering why one of the most lovely women in the university would give up her place in line to stand next to me. It was a fair question. I was curious myself. I moved aside to make space for her. We stood shoulder to shoulder for a moment, neither of us speaking.
"What are you studying this term?"
I asked. Fela brushed her hair back from her shoulder.
"I'll keep up with my work in the archives, I suppose. Some chemistry. And Brandier has invited me into manifold maths."
I shivered a bit.
"Too many numbers, I can't swim those waters,"
Fela gave a shrug, and the long dark curls of hair she'd brushed away took the opportunity to tumble back, framing her face.
It's not so hard once you get your head around it. It's more like a game than anything.
She cocked her head at me.
What about you?
Observation in the Medica, I said. Study and work in the fishery, sympathy too, if Dahl will have me. I should probably brush up on my Siaru too.
You speak Siaru?
She asked, sounding surprised. I can get by, I said, but Will says my grammar is embarrassingly bad. Fela nodded, then looked sideways at me, biting her lip.
Elodine's asked me to join his class too, she said, her voice thick with apprehension.
Elodine's got a class? I asked.
I didn't think they let him teach.
He's starting it this term, she said, giving me a curious look.
I thought you'd be in it. Didn't he sponsor you to Raylar?
He did, I said.
Oh, she looked uncomfortable, then quickly added. He probably just hasn't asked you yet, or he's planning on mentoring you separately.
I waved her comment aside, though I was stung at the thought of being left out.
You can say with Elodine, I said. If he isn't crazy, he's the best actor I've ever met.
Fela started to say something, then looked around nervously and moved closer to me. Her shoulder brushed mine, and her curling hair tickled my ear as she quietly asked,
Did he really throw you off the roof of the crockery?
I gave an embarrassed chuckle.
That's a complicated story, I said,
then changed the subject rather clumsily.
What's the name of his class?
She rubbed her forehead and gave a frustrated laugh.
I haven't the slightest idea. He said the name of the class was the name of the class.
She looked at me.
What does that mean? When I go to ledgers and lists, will it be there under the name of the class?
I admitted I didn't know, and from there it was a short step to sharing Elodine's stories. Fela said a Scriv had caught him naked in the archives. I'd heard that he'd once spent an entire span walking around the university blindfolded. Fela heard he'd invented an entire language from the ground up. I'd heard he had started a fistfight in one of the seedier local taverns because someone had insisted on saying the word utilize instead of use.
I heard that too, Fela said, laughing. Except it was at the Horse and Four and it was a baronet who wouldn't stop using the word moreover.
Before I knew it, we were at the front of the line. Quoth Arliden's son, I said. The bored-looking woman marked my name, and I drew a smooth ivory tile out of the black velvet bag. It read, Felling. Noon. 8th day of admissions. Plenty of time to prepare. Fela drew her own tile, and we moved away from the table.
What did you get?
I asked. She showed me her own small ivory tile, Kendling at 4th bell. It was an incredibly lucky draw, one of the latest slots available.
Wow, congratulations.
Fela shrugged and slipped the tile into her pocket.
That's all the same to me. I don't make a special point of studying. The more I prepare, the worse I do. It just makes me nervous.
You should trade it away then, I said, gesturing to the milling throng of students.
Someone would pay a full talent to get that slot, maybe more.
I'm not much for bargaining either, she said. I just assume whatever tile I draw is lucky and stick to it.
Free from the line, we didn't have any excuse to stay together. But I was enjoying her company, and she didn't seem terribly eager to run off, so the two of us wandered the courtyard aimlessly, the crowd milling around us.
I'm starving, Fela said suddenly. Do you want to go have an early lunch somewhere?
I was painfully aware of how light my purse was. If I were any poorer, I'd have to put a rock in it to keep it from flapping in the breeze. My meals were free at Anchor's because I played music there, so spending money on food somewhere else, especially so close to admissions, would be absolute foolishness.
I'd love to, I said honestly. Then I lied. But I should browse around here a bit and see if anyone is willing to trade slots with me.
I'm a bargainer from way back. Fela fished around in her pocket.
If you're looking for more time, you can have mine.
I looked at the tile between her finger and thumb. Sorely tempted. 2 more days of preparation would be a godsend. Or I could make a talent by trading it away. Maybe 2.
I wouldn't want to take your luck, I said, smiling, and you certainly don't want any part of mine. Besides, you've already been too generous with me. I drew my cloak around my shoulders pointedly. Fela smiled at that, reaching out to run her knuckles across the front of the cloak.
I'm glad you like it. But as far as I'm concerned, I still owe you.
She bit at her lips nervously, then let her hand drop.
Promise me you'll let me know if you change your mind.
I promise. She smiled again, then gave a half wave and walked off across the courtyard. Watching her stroll through the crowd was like watching the wind move across the surface of a pond. Except instead of casting ripples on the water, the heads of young men turned to watch her as she passed. I was still watching when Willem walked up beside me.
Are you finished with your flirting then?
He asked.
I wasn't flirting, I said.
You should have been,
he said.
What's the point of me waiting politely, not interrupting if you waste such opportunities?
It isn't like that, I said. She's just friendly.
Obviously,
he said, his rough, Caelish accent making the sarcasm in his voice seem twice as thick.
What did you draw?
I showed him my tile.
You're a day later than me.
He held out his tile.
I'll trade you for a jot.
I hesitated.
Come now, he said. It's not as if you can study in the archives like the rest of us.
I glared at him. Your empathy is overwhelming.
I save my empathy for those clever enough to avoid driving the master archivist into a frothing rage, he said. For folks such as you, I only have a jot in trade. Would you like it or not?
I would like two jots, I said, scanning the crowd looking for students with a desperate wildness around their eyes, if I can get them. Willem narrowed his dark eyes.
A jot and three drabs, he said.
I looked back at him, eyeing him carefully.
A jot and three, I said. And you take Simon as your partner the next time we play corners.
He gave a huff of laughter and nodded. We traded tiles and I tucked the money into my purse. One talent and four, a small step closer. After a moment's thought, I tucked my tile into my pocket.
Aren't you going to keep trading down?
Will asked. I shook my head.
I think I'll keep this slot.
He frowned.
Why? What can you do with 4 days except fret and thumb twiddle?
Same as anyone, I said. Prepare for my admissions interview.
How?
He asked.
You're still banned from the archives, aren't you?
There are other types of preparation, I said mysteriously. Willem snorted.
That doesn't seem suspicious at all, he said. And you wonder why people talk about you.
I don't wonder why they talk, I said.
I wonder what they say.